Now, where they restate the chorus at the end, there you feel the beauty of the song. It's beautiful. It's melodic. It's the playing is lyrical. Bickett is superb on guitar. It's a pity we don't hear more of people like Bickett and Don Thompson. Canadian jazz musicians tend to rot unless they hook into one of the big bands and get on a tour that's sponsored by one of the arts councils or what have you in Canada. The next track I wanted to play is Nancy, which is an old Jimmy Van Heusen song. It's a classic, and if you thought the last track was late night stuff, this one's for real late night lushes, people who the 50s are a memory of cool jazz.
Thank you. This has been Track Talk with Peter Sherwood and Peter, who we've been listening to today, and the album number.
Now, it's Paul Desmond with a quartet comprised of Ed Bickert on electric guitar, Joey Fuller on drums, and Don Thompson on acoustic bass. It's recorded in Canada in Toronto at the Bourbon Street Jazz Club there. It's out on A&M on their Horizon label, which is a jazz label. The number is SP850. And it's available locally. That last track we listened to was called Nancy, and it was typical of the rest of the album. You hear Desmond doing something he does a lot, which is quoting from other people. In this case, I think Chet Baker, a few little bars there of I Remember You. And Bickert, I don't know, to me he reminds me of a guy called Tal Farlow, who played jazz guitar, was best known in the late 50s, early 60s. But I hope to hear more of Bickert, and perhaps we'll get some more of his work on.
Okay, Peter, look forward to it. Thank you very much. See you next week. Peter Sherwood. Time now is 4:30, and here's the latest provincial news. The opposition finance critic has begun the budget debate in the legislature with an attack on the government's credibility and the believability of its administration of the province's financial affairs. Neil Stairs reports from the legislature.
The first 15 pages of Joseph Degg's opening to the budget debate are concerned with political muckraking. He questions whether anyone can believe a budget drawn up by a finance minister who he says was responsible for huge financial losses in the Brickland venture, Whitaker Textiles, and Seertex. He poses similar questions for the chairman of Treasury Board, who he says is responsible for the province's current financial disaster, was fired and reappointed after 2 years in purgatory. Mr. Degg makes passing comments on the current tension caused by Mr. Higgins' charges in the legislature earlier this month and says he's participating in the debate with very serious reservations. During the course of his remarks, Mr. Degg also called for a decentralization of provincial government operations. He says the time has come to take much of the government operation out of Fredericton and to place government departmental offices in places where they are closer to the areas of their concern. For example, he says the Department of Natural Resources could operate more efficiently in the north, where the resources are located, and the Department of Agriculture could be placed in any number of counties where agriculture has a higher profile. He says the government would stimulate more development in areas where it's needed by taking government to the places where it's needed. Neil Stairs, CBC News.
The province of New Brunswick has not abandoned efforts to buy Minister's Island. The director of the Historical Resources Administration, Dr. George Macbeth, says the province continues to hold a positive interest in acquiring the former island home of Sir William Van Horn. He says negotiations are now underway with two Canadians who purchased the island on Monday. Yesterday, the minister responsible for Historical Resources Administration, Charles Gallagher, expressed disappointment that the island had been sold since the province had been negotiating with a former owner, an American, for its purchase. Mr. Gallagher also declared the island a protected site under the Historical Sites Protection Act. Dr. Macbeth says that he doesn't think the change in ownership of the island will change the manner in which the province approaches negotiations for its purchase. New Brunswick will be well represented at a conference being held in Ottawa to study the effects of phenytrothione. A three-day session, co-sponsored by Agriculture Canada and the National Research Council, will study the effects of the insecticide phenytrothione on forest ecosystems. Representatives of the Departments of Health and Natural Resources, as well as two representatives from Forest Protection Limited, will take in the conference in late April. A number of scientists currently working on various aspects of phenytrothione use in New Brunswick will be presenting papers on the insecticide along with other Canadian, American, and European scientists. The last session of the conference will be devoted to studying the toxic effects of phenytrothione, including its effects on humans. Dr. John Crocker, who was at the center of the Rye syndrome controversy last year, will address the last session. A cost-sharing agreement has yet to be worked out between the New Brunswick and Federal Departments of Health for the joint study on the long-term effects of insecticides on New Brunswickers. However, a number of technical agreements have been reached, and the study will go ahead just prior to this year's spruce budworm program. The study is aimed at testing muscle reactions to insecticides used in the spray operations to see if they have an injurious effect on people living near spray zones. One of two bank holdup suspects in St. John has been released on bail. Gerald Richard Cormier was released from jail at noon today after posting $10,000 in sureties and $1,000 in cash bail. The other suspect, Jacob Joseph Chasson, remains in jail. His bail was set at $10,000 in sureties and $5,000 in cash. Both men face a preliminary hearing early next month on a charge of robbing a Bayside Drive bank last week of $2,400. The evening edition of Provincial News will be heard at 10 minutes before 6, followed by national and international news on the world at 6. The weather forecast, cloudy, clearing tomorrow. Strong northwesterly winds diminishing to light by tomorrow afternoon. Lows tonight -1 to -5, and Friday's highs near zero. You're listening to Smith & Company.